please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay. Adequate notice of the meeting to be held by the Township of Rosa Board of Education on Tuesday, February 16, 2016 at 8 p.m. has been provided in accordance with the requirements of Chapter 231, Public Laws of 1975. Notice of the meeting is posted on the bulletin board in the lobby of the Administration Building, 163 Monmouth Road, Oakridge, New Jersey, all of the Township District Schools and Transportation, and the district website on January 7, 2016. Notice of the meeting was transmitted to Asbury Park Press on January 7, 2016, and to the Coaster newspaper on January 7, 2016. Notice of the meeting was filed with Municipal Clerk Township of Ocean and the Municipal Clerk Village of Lock Harbor on January 7, 2016. Mr. General, please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mr. Dietrich.
Here.
Mr. Marshall.
Here.
Mrs. McGovern.
Here.
Mr. Moore.
Here.
Mr. Paloudis.
Here.
Mrs. Paralamas.
Here.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Here.
And Mr. Haddon.
Here.
Nine members present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Going to start things off with our student representatives, Ms. Rose, Ms. Walk.
So right now we have the sophomore class officers hosting their sophomore lock-in next Friday night, February 19th. Also, the sophomores are to be attending their college search process meeting next Thursday, February 18th. Also at the high school, SAT prep classes are being held every Tuesday and Wednesday from 6 to 8 for the new SAT format starting in March. And the drama club had hosted a Valentine's night at the high school on February 11th. And the varsity club is hosting a fashion show March 1st at 7 p.m. at the intermediate school.
Our winter sports teams are starting to close out their seasons. The basketball team seeded 24 in the short conference tournament out of 32 teams. They played their game right now against Freehold at Freehold. The girls basketball team, their last game was at Homeville, which they won. The hockey team won today at Toms River East 8-5. Their next game is home at 4 o'clock this Friday for tonight. The wrestling team's record is 12-13. Swimming boys, they won their division and they ended their season about 2 weeks ago. And for winter track, Quadratula Kadiri, he was the pole vault state champion. Matt Dioria and Michaela Cholak qualified for groups, along with Gindy. And honorable mentions were Ryan Locke, Connor Daly, Tom Dioria, and David Gonzalez. And for shot put, Emma Basin qualified for state.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go get some homework done. And now, the superintendent's report, Dr. Stankiewicz.
Well, thank you, sir, Mr. Haddon. All right, we have a couple things tonight. We have the annual mid-year report for our district harassment, intimidation, and bullying summary report. So we'll be talking about that. And then we have some student presentations that will carry out tonight. So, first and foremost, in support of the anti-bullying Bill of Rights, in accordance with Board of Education Policy 5512, twice a year, it's my responsibility to report out to the public the incidents of harassment, intimidation, and bullying that occur within our schools. That covers the period September 1st through December 31st, 2015. The information includes the number, nature, effect and mode of the incidents, as well as disciplinary action taken. The report also includes training sessions and for teachers and administrators, as well as bullying prevention programs for students. So, obviously, we never like to see any bullying incidents, but in relation to the county and the district, or the county and the state, our number of incidents is relatively low, and I'm happy to say that. We had 4 HIB incidents during the period of September 1 through December 31st. 2 of those were based on religion, 1 was based on gender, and 1 was based on sexual orientation. 3 of those were verbal incidents, and 1 of those was over electronic communication. Those incidents resulted in both suspensions and detentions for the individuals involved, as well as mandatory counseling, not just for the person who was the bullier in this particular in these instances, but also for the individuals who were bullied. Obviously, you know, once again, we never want to see any incidents, but overall, this is a relatively low number, and certainly I think a lot of credit goes to our staff, our administration, and our students for, one, the training and the example that's set, but also from the student perspective, you know, acting the way we expect our students to behave. And I think also when other students see bullying going on, they report it, and that's really important. It's really critical not to have bystanders in the mix. So we're very proud of our students in that regard, and very proud of our entire staff for making sure that these incidents stay as low as they possibly can stay. So when we get to later, I'll be happy to answer any questions on that. All right. Now the most fun part, we honor kids. Okay. So we have a good number of students here tonight. So we want to honor them for their accomplishments. And very exciting this evening. I don't know if you've noticed. We have this. Now, Mr. Paludis, what is that called again?
A step and repeat.
I didn't know that. So it's called, I just called it a banner. I didn't know. So thanks to our booster club, who purchased this, I think primarily for, you know, sporting type things. We thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to use this here because we're always taking pictures of the kids and after they receive their award. So it's a good opportunity to stand in front of that. So as we ask you to come up, what we're going to do is normally we do it over here, but I'm going to ask if the recipients this evening could kind of make their way toward the step and repeat. Thank you.
It keeps Dr. Stefankowitz from photobombing your moment ago.
It's true, because I do enjoy doing that, but I'll figure out a way. But anyway, so, and then of course we have our principals here who will join in on that fun. So we have a number of folks who we'd like to honor. Some folks were able to make it, some were not, some we weren't sure, so we'll call out the names anyway, and hopefully if they're here, you'll come up. So first off, we'd like to start off at our high school. So I'll ask Ms. Weldon if she's here to come on up to the stand and repeat.
Step and repeat.
I can't hear her. All right. The banner over there.
Yeah, there you go. The backdrop.
And we're going to go from there. Now, we have several students. And this is part of our high school FCCLA program. This is the Family Consumer Life Sciences group. And we have, I think we have Emily Halsey. Is Emily here? Emily, please come on up. And also Jillian Robach. Is Jillian here? These two young ladies were part of the Caregiver Carry-All program or project as part of that competition. They had to bring a bag packed with games, activities, snacks that a caregiver would need to occupy a young child, and they placed with a bronze medal in that competition. So that's outstanding. Next up, and I'm not sure if these two young folks are here, but if they're not here, we're certainly going to acknowledge them. We have Candace Matea. Is Candace here by the show? Candace, yeah. And I'm very sorry if I mispronounced this last name, but it looks like Minka Pichnut. Is that correct? Did I say that well?
Mike.
I'm very sorry about that. I was worried about the last name. I screwed up the first name. So I'm very sorry about that. Okay, now, here's the big question, ladies. Did you bring examples of the cupcakes?
No.
All right, well, let me tell you what these young ladies did. These young ladies competed in the cupcake challenge and took home a gold medal.
Wow.
So, now, do you want to share with us what the secret ingredient was, or do you want me to share what the secret ingredient was?
What was it?
Not long ago.
Okay, I probably then will share what the secret. It was so secret, you don't even remember what it is. But it was lemon.
Yeah.
Does
that
sound familiar now?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's lemon was the secret ingredient. And you have to promise us that next month, if you would be so kind, please bring examples of this wonderful gold-winning cupcake. Could you do that for us?
Okay.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Last, we have Yakish Yurikala. And Yakish completed the lessons in leadership, and while he didn't receive a medal, he did attend the leadership workshop and is currently the vice president of the school's FCCLA. And I also would like Ms. Gilman, you are here as the advisor of the club. If you could come up, please, and I think it would be appropriate for you to... take a picture with Yakish would be great. I think that would be. Of course, if any parents who want to take pictures at this school.
Are there any parents here who want to take pictures of their kids? Go up. It's not just an exclusive thing for this
No. The step in whatever is not exclusive. Okay. Thank you. All right, thank you very much, folks at the high school. Next up is the intermediate school, and I bet you all didn't know there was going to be a spelling bee today. That's good, nobody left, that's good. All right, before we get to the spelling bee, okay, we have quite often our students take part in the Asbury Park Press Student Voice Competition, and Ms. Joanne DeVito, who is one of the teachers at the intermediate school, I'm not sure if Joanne is here tonight, but she often, along with many of the other teachers over there, submit work to the Asbury Park Press for their consideration in this essay contest. So tonight we have Whitney Butterfield. Whitney, is it Whitney? Okay, Whitney's a regular. She wins. She wins this competition quite a bit. And we have Valerie is a source, who's our supervisor of humanities, English and many other things. Is going to be here to present this tonight. So Whitney wrote an essay entitled "Petrified by an Intruder in the Middle of the Night." Right. So as I'm reading your essay, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm frightened for you. I'm literally biting my fingernails, right? Because you go on to describe this waking up in the middle of the night with just hearing these horrific noises coming from inside your house, correct?
Yeah.
The police are called, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is scary stuff. Would you like to go on to describe what the noises were?
Ended up being a helium balloon stuck in the ceiling fan. And then it would hit like the ceiling, so it sounded like a drawer.
So that horrific situation turned into a third place finish in the Asbury Park Press voice competition. So congratulations. She had her certificate.
There's a stack of
I think we do have one for you in there.
These are all spelling bees.
Okay. There's one there somewhere, and we'll get it to you, I promise. I'm very sorry about that. All right. Now for the spelling bee. All right. So every year, our school district takes part in the, it's really statewide, or national spelling bee, mm-hmm. right? So the national spelling bee. And we have winners in our fourth grade, and then, of course, we have finalists that compete that come in first, second, and third in the school competition at the intermediate school. So our district spelling bee was organized this year by Ms. Eleanor Hughes, who's our supervisor of language arts and social studies K-5, and also Ms. Valerie Source over here, who is the supervisor of English 6-12. And they do an amazing amount of work and an incredible job organizing this event. And it really is very dramatic. It's high drama and high competition, I have to tell you. And it's frightening because we have an administrator's meeting shortly after this usually takes place with Mr. Castula, you know, our principal at the intermediate school. And Mr. Castula takes great pleasure in giving all the administrative team a spelling test based on the words that were in the competition. And when I tell you that, you know, thank goodness for spell check. I'm not joking, right? So we usually get somewhere around, what, 5 or 6? I think, like, the winner this year came in with 6 correct out of 10. Hopefully that instills great confidence in all of you. But, you know, we hit the books shortly thereafter. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is talk about, we're going to list the finalists, and then, of course, then we'll do third place, second place, and then the first place winner. Unfortunately, our winner couldn't be here this evening, but we'll certainly announce and spell his name as we go. Okay, so first up in the finalist group here, and this is from Ms. Gideo's class, is Seth Batista. Is Seth here? Seth? Seth's in 8th grade, and we're part of the 8th grade group. Now I'm going to ask the group to, if you, all of you can stay up here, and then we'll take one kind of group shot with everybody, okay? All right. Next up is from 5th grade, Ms. Tui's class. This is Daniel Coles. Daniel. Mm-hmm. Also in 8th grade, this is Mrs. Willem's class. Sebastian Gonzalez. Sebastian. All right, I'm not sure if this young lady's in the audience, but it's also from Ms. Gideo's class, Sarah, 8th grade, Sarah Wang. Sarah Wang. Wasn't sure if Sarah was going to make it, but we applaud for her anyway. All right, next up, 5th grade, Mrs. Belez's class is Angela Cruz Medina. Is Angela here? Next up in 7th grade is Mrs. Clark's class, Reagan Riley. Next up from 6th grade, Mr. Hoyle's class, Noah Redeker. Seventh grade, Mrs. Pepe's class, Danelle Smith. Danelle here. Sixth grade, Miss. Okay, now we're up to our third place winner. Okay, our third place winner. This is 6th grade, Mrs. Horton's class, Viviana Ayuso. Viviana. Alright, our second place winner, and he may look familiar to you all, because this young man won the competition last year, but amazingly was just nailed on a very difficult word that none of us spelled correctly, Dane, so just so you know that, so you feel very good. So this is in Mrs. DeVito's class, 8th grade, Dane Tedder. And then last but not least, but unfortunately, once again, he couldn't be here, but for Mrs. Musselman's class, 7th grade, Elliot Topper was the winner of this year. All Now, before we end, however, we have some 4th grade winners, and we'll ask them to come up as well. And so we have one from each school, so three 4th grade winners. So starting off with Wanamassa, and we have Hannah Milieu. I'm so sorry. I'm probably butchering that. I really apologize. Molyneux? I'm so sorry. Thank you very much, Molyneux. And that's from Mr. Pringle's class. Hannah's from Mr. Pringle's class, so congratulations to Hannah. I'm not sure if this person is here, but from Dow Avenue School, Mr. O'Neill's class, Osiris Hunley. Is Osiris here? Oh. And last but not least, from Wayside School, fourth grade, Josh Levitt. Josh. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are our 2015-16 Ocean Township Spelling Bee finalists and winners. Congratulations.
Parents who want to get closer to take a picture of their kids who are up there, please feel
please
free.
Please feel free to do so, and kids like scrunch together. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, if I could just have your attention for a second. If any of you didn't get a picture of the link, we'll have them. The link newspaper will have them. On Thursday, they'll come out, right? Next part of my report, folks. There's been some discussion in the last couple weeks, a lot of questions, a lot of discussion regarding our school calendar. So I'm going to do a brief presentation in a couple minutes, and it's going to take me a couple minutes to get that set up. So this will be an opportunity. You're all very, very willing and able to stay for it. But this might be an opportunity that if you didn't wish to stay for it, you can be on your way. But it's going to take me a couple minutes.
Okay. Except you. You have to stay. You have to stay. We're out.
Bar. Let's go.
You know, what did you mention that? I haven't been there yet. All right, folks, we're going to get started with a presentation by Dr. Spankwitz about the school calendar, so if you have your attention, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so I appreciate that, you know, obviously over the last couple of weeks there's been some discussion and questions, what have you, related to our school calendar. And our school calendar this year is certainly different than it has been in years past, but it is certainly not a calendar that is unique or unrepresented around the county. And so what I'd like to do tonight is just take a couple of minutes to kind of go into what goes into it, the different philosophies that are out there regarding the term calendars, and then of course happy to answer any questions that anybody has. So what goes into making a school calendar? Okay. All right, so the first thing that we have to look at is the law. All right, and there's two laws that govern how a calendar gets developed. The first law, and there are copies of this, folks, by the way, on the back, if you'd like to have that. The first law that goes into play here is the window of opportunity. What are possible days that can be instituted into a calendar? And in New Jersey, that is September 1 through June 30. Every one of those days is a possible day that can be used for school, including, believe it or not, weekends. When I was a teacher, one year I went to school on a Saturday because our superintendent decided that that was what we would prefer to do. So we went to school on a Saturday. I'm not advocating that, by the way. Just going on record as saying I'm not advocating that. But the window is September 1st and June 30th. So the next thing that comes, just checking that out, make sure it works. So the next thing that comes into play is the state law of the minimum number of days that are required for students to attend school. And that is 180. And I bold the word minimum there because that is, in fact, a minimum requirement. There is nothing that says that a student cannot go more than 180 days, 181 and 283. It absolutely is possible. But unfortunately, so often we focus mostly on that 180 days. All right. So there's the law, so then there's other local considerations. So the local considerations are, first, your district collective bargaining agreement and what's in your contract as far as number of days. So in Ocean, our contract is 187 days for teaching staff. Now, what makes up those 187 days? And by the way, that's not consistent across the board in districts all over. That number is different depending on the district and depending on what is collectively bought in. For example, in Long Branch, it's 183. In Matawan, it's 186. I think in Little Silver, it's 185. So it varies. It usually is somewhere between 183 and 187, 188. That's usually the number. Now, what that 187 and what that number, whatever it is in any district, consists of is the number of days with students plus the number of days without students equals your 187. That's, you know, that's not even common core math. That's pretty, you know, normal stuff, right? So we do 187 days. So what are those days without students? They could be in-service days. They are, you know, like checkout days at the end of the year, that kind of thing. So whatever days we have without students plus the days with students. Then you have your local norms and expectations. You know, and what do we mean by that? Well, it's, you know, what are the things that are within your community that are either valued or how things are done in your community? You know, the school calendar is kind of like a snowflake, ironically. No two are alike. And if I polled each and every one of you here as to, you know, what we would prefer in calendar, I would, you know, if there's, I don't know, 50, 60 people here, I'd probably get 50 or 60 different answers as to what you would prefer, because there's different things that play into it. You know, I know if you ask the kids, for example, they would say, come in as late as possible, leave as early as possible, and if you can give us as many days off in between, that would be really appreciated. I know that's what I hear in my house, but, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But local norms are things like 2 days for Rosh Hashanah, right? We do 2 days here in this district, other districts do one. Some districts do a week off in February. We do not do that. Some districts do, I'm going to bring it up, I apologize. Two-thirds of districts are in school on Columbus Day. I completely understand, without any reservation, that we do not want to be in school on Columbus Day, and I got that. So you know, but these are things that I'll go into it. These are the local norms and expectations. And then the last part of it is that, you know, the main goal of a calendar is to try to maximize the educational opportunities for students. You want to maximize. You don't want to minimize it. And time is certainly one of the most valuable resources we have as educators, without question. I mean, and I can't tell you, I've never heard a teacher say to me, I have too much time to do what I need to do. Never. And with all the testing demands, with the assemblies, with the class trips, with all those things, that 180 days really falls more like 160. When it's all said and done. So we work to maximize our days, realizing that time is one of the most valuable resources that we have. All right, so what do we do? How do we, you know, devise it? So, you know, usually I'll come up with a template, you know, a sort of a model, and I'll go to the administrative team, and I'll get input from the administrative team. And then last year, I sat down with the previous president, Mr. Wishart, who has since retired, but sat down with him. This year, we worked with instructional council and also with Mr. Riley. I meet with the PTA presidents and get their input, so they bring the parent piece into it. And then, of course, ultimately, I get the input from the Board of Education, and then ultimately, it's approved by the Board of Education. So that's typically, you know, the input that we get. I also, most recently, consult social media outlets, because there's a lot of that going on out there. So, I'm joking. All right, so now we get into this whole idea of emergency days, and I think that's been a big topic of conversation in the last, you know, couple of weeks especially. Now, there are different ways that districts deal with emergency days. There's not one way. There is a way that is probably what most districts do, and that's the top. And I can only speak of Monmouth County. I did not research every district in the state, but I did research Monmouth County. And Monmouth County, they do about 70% of the districts in Monmouth County do this. And what they do is they build in, and we are one of those. We have been traditionally one of those districts that build the emergency days, and I say emergency because it obviously can be more than snow. Build the days into the contracted number of days. They build them into the contracted number of days. So in other words, and what is that number? Well, you know, we're at 187 days. We take away the days that we have non-student days, right? So if we had, say prior to this year, we had 4 non-student days. So that leaves 187 staff days, 183 student days. That's what we've done the last so many years. That's fluctuated, you know, over the past 15 or so. But that's basically been where we are. What that tells you is that we have built in 3 days that we are willing to let go because it snows. That's what that says, right? So in some cases it's 2 days. This year for us it was 1 day because we had 6 non-student days, right? So if people say, why one? Well, one is all we could in this type of schedule based on the number of non-student days that we have, right? Okay, so that's one way, and like I said, about 70% of the districts in Monmouth County do this. They build them into their contracted days, all right? The next way some districts do it, and for example, you have Little Silverton, Falls, Mattawan, Eatontown, build the days beyond their contracted days. So they're in the calendar, they're there, but they're beyond. So in other words, say if they're, and I'll show examples in a minute, but if the contract says 187 and they're building in 2 days, they'll schedule 189. And that way, if that happens, so if you take 2 days, then they come off the top, you're still getting your contracted days, the kids still get all their days are not just gone poof. And of course, if the days are not used, then they're returned. So the staff would never work more than their contracted number of days, right? So that's another way that some districts do it. Another way districts do it, and there's about 12 in the county that do it this way, they build in the dreaded zero. And how that works is you use one, you find an open day, and you make it up. I liken it to like a baseball schedule, right? Any major league baseball fans here? Am I the only one? Myself. Right, 162 games in a season, right? So when a game gets rained out, what happens? Do they forget about the day? Do they forget about the game? No. They find the next open date, and they reschedule the game. That's what they do. So that's what a number of districts in our county do. Districts like Middletown, Manasquan, Long Branch, Neptune, Monmouth County Vocational does this. And I'm going to show this in greater detail, what this all means. But Monmouth County Vocational, the Career Academy High Schools. So let me kind of give you some example as to how this breaks out, all right? So this is a comparison between what we've done in the years, last so many years, prior to this year, and I use Monmouth County Vocational School District as an example, all right? So we would design our calendar, and we'd have 187 staff days, and we'd have 183 student days. Now, that's an awesome schedule. That's really good. If we could maintain that schedule, like that many student days, that would be awesome. That would really be good, right? We wouldn't be just focusing on the minimum number of days required by law. We'd be getting more. And we can do it because it's within our number of staff days. So here's Monmouth Folk. They were 186. They do 6 staff days, so they are at 180. They're at the absolute minimum. Now, on the surface, you look at our calendar and go, this is far superior. This is better than the Monmouth County Folk calendar. But let's see what happens as we start having emergency days, all right? Now, if it never snowed and we didn't have to worry about this, this is without question fantastic. The problem is we have used those days. In the last 13 years, and I'll show this in a minute, and I went back 13 years because that's a K-12 student, right, 13 years. We've used 38 emergency days. We've averaged 2.9 per year. So we use the three. We use them, all right? So if it stayed like this, this would be awesome, but let's see what happens. So the first time we use a snow day, we're now down to this. Second snow day, we're down to this. Third snow day, we're here. We have basically finished the last 13 years at this place because we've built the snow days into our contracted number of days. Monmouth Folk, on the other hand, just using them as an example, because there are no days built in, no matter how many they use, they maintain their calendar and they maximize their days, right? So what really, and I don't, you know, I think this is just one of those situations that just became. It just became. And I use us, but once again, 70% of districts in our county use this. It makes these days expendable. It makes these days say, we don't really care if we lose these days. And I don't think anybody feels that way. I know you guys don't. I certainly don't. You know, we all talk about how we need more student days. But yet, when we do this kind of calendar like this, we are basically saying, here's 3 days that we're perfectly comfortable with getting rid of and just tossing them out the window. Now, we wind up with the same number of student days that they do, yes, but, you know, we have, you know, made days within our calendar expendable while they have not. So that's one example of, and I know the horror of my parents, oh my God, I can't build in those snow days, and they've got to build in snow days, what if it snows? Well, if it snows, you take the day off. You take the day, right? This year we had one day built in. I did not close school if conditions warranted not closing school, right? So if conditions warrant, if it's unsafe, we're not going to open school. You know, Monmouth County Vogue was in on Friday because that was their first makeup day. And when they were off January 25th, as we were, that put February 12th back on the calendar for Monmouth County Vogue. They also have off May 27th, which is the Friday before Memorial Day, right? They will now be in school that day because they were off on February 5th. So as they use them, they make them up, all right? So here's another possibility that other districts do. Here's an example of a district that builds beyond the contracted days. So for example, in Tinton Falls, here's our same example as we used before. Here's the 185. Now that's in Tinton Falls. They have 185 contracted days. So they build in, quote unquote, build in three, but they build them beyond the contracted days. So here's, they go to 188, 183, and then if they use the days, they come down to their contracted number of days, students 180, and once again, they get more out of their calendar than we ultimately do. So, you know, it's just a different approach. It's a different approach, and it's designed, hopefully, to maximize the days. Now, you know, I don't love that any of these go down to 180. Like, I don't love that. I would much prefer that we set, like, a minimum for our school district at around 182 of student days, and we hold to it. And we stick to that. You know, you as staff members would never go above 187. That's your contracted number of days, right? So there's a cost to these days. As I mentioned, in the last 13 years, if you're a student who went through this district and graduated last year, you missed, we gave you 2 months of school over the course of that time. 2 months, 38 days, that's 2 months of school. Now, there may be some who might say, it's not that big of a deal. I don't say that. That's a lot of school. That's 38 days of inspiration, 38 days of innovation, 38 days of discovery, 38 days of, you know, something that a student missed. And that's a lot. Professional development opportunities that may have been lost over that time. There's a financial part to this. And it's not in money per se, but it's in lost productivity. You know, every day in our district equates to about $217,000 in salaries and things. So when that gets paid, we're not working, right? And that's all of us. So that's, you know, $217,000 a day. That's about $650,000 a year if we use 3 days. And over the course of those 13 years, those 38 days, would be about $7.6 million in lost productivity, right? So from the taxpayer standpoint, you know, that's very significant. All right, so what would be ideal? And I think you kind of got the idea. You know, I ultimately would love to get us to a schedule where we're maximizing our days, where this becomes our minimum. Why should 180 be the minimum? So, you know, could we build something that goes beyond our 187? So if we use a couple of emergency days, we're still maximizing our student days, and we're still getting in a good number of non-staff opportunities. You know, the other option is the zero snow day possibility, where we just do something like this, and then as we use them, we make them up. So, you know, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the time. You know, we're recommending a calendar tonight that is not one of those what I consider to be the ideal. We're recommending one that has been more traditional. It only builds in 2 days into the contracted number of days because that's all it can. If you take 187, you subtract the 5 non-student days that we have in the calendar, that only leaves 2, right? That only leaves 2. So, you know, that's how we build a calendar in a nutshell. I appreciate your patience and listening. I'm happy to answer any questions. This outcome.
Contingent on the number of days, or do we get the same amount of
Well, only Jim, if you
Jim,
go
I'm
on.
Sorry,
only if,
Jim.
I'm sorry.
Let me interrupt.
Yes.
Because we're recording the meeting, I need you to stand up, clearly state your name and your address, even though we know yours by heart. we just need whoever's going to ask a question. I need you to clearly state your name once you're called on and your address so we can catch that in the recording. Thank you.
Number of days. If you go below the 180, then yes, you run the risk of penalty by the state.
But it's just like the same call promoting. So if you go 180 or 183, you get the same amount of state.
Correct. It's based on 180. But obviously, the educational value of going at 180 is they don't give you more money if you go more days.
Yes,
guarantee. If they did, I guarantee you that there would be no such thing as building shelters. Guarantee. Yes.
Jennifer Coyle, I don't live in town, I work at the community school. Why such an increase in the non-student days? Why haven't we considered using half days to get student days? I know I respect everything that our SIP does, but I know they have a hard time filling an entire day, making an actual productive day.
We have absolutely talked about that. That is an option that we have definitely discussed. For this year, which unfortunately we lost Friday, and next year we did build in a full day in February. And I understand that this may not be the case in all buildings, but certainly at the elementary level, because of new reading program we're putting into effect and other things that are going on, full day is really critical. We looked at making Friday, like one of the options we talked about for last Friday was maybe can we make that a half day, maintain, because a number of the things that some of the buildings had scheduled probably could have fit into a partial day, but it was impossible at the elementary level. So that was one of the big reasons. So I'm not saying we would never consider that, but just for the next couple years, or at least through next year, it really didn't fit in. The other thing I would mention is that, since I arrived in the district, I heard a lot of people say to me, this June PD day doesn't really fit from a timing standpoint. And we actually did, and we were looking to change that day and not have that day. It's kind of driven by our prom, which, there's a lot of feelings like that shouldn't be the case. But right now, the feeling is that a Thursday prom is not something we can move away from at this particular time because of project prom, because of religious considerations, because of financial considerations. So, we weren't able to move it out for next year. So once again, a calendar, just because a calendar says one thing one year doesn't mean that it can't be adjusted in future years. But that we are looking at that, again, to the possibilities of half days.
Emily Eisenbart, I'm a teacher at Ocean Township Elementary School. I live in Brick. I had a question with regards to the choice of holidays. I know that our community has been changing. The citizens that live here now are different than the populations we've had in the past. Has there been any community outreach to see, the community's opinion as to what holidays are deemed important to the community, and if that's still the case now than it was years ago?
I haven't, done a survey of the community at this point, but certainly we get a lot of, let me say this. I guess, and the board could probably speak to this better than I, but over the last couple of years, some changes were attempted to be made with some of the days, and it did generate some negativity from what I understand.
A little bit.
About not, like, for example, I think a couple of years back, Mr. Lisko was going to only do one day for Rosh Hashanah. That was problematic. There were some other things that have arisen. I think, days after, I think Easter were not off, and that became problematic. I will tell you that we do have a growing Muslim population in our community. When we checked days, students and actually staff members as well, if there's a religious holiday, a recognized religious holiday. And a student doesn't come in for that day, a student can go below 180 if they claim religious holiday, or something, which they can. But when I go back and look at days that we're not off and what religious holidays are taken the most by our students, it's Muslim holidays. So and when I say the most, it was 15 kids, so that's not like crazy, but it was 14 it was many, many times more than the next holiday, you know, the next one. So that may be something we absolutely are going to have to look at moving forward, you know. But right now, not so much. I mean, you know, and once again, you know, every day you take off in the middle is one day added on, you know, and that's something we all have to think about. Because, I mean, I think we would all agree, you know, going until June 30th is not advantageous to pretty much anyone. I mean, I know I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of you would want to be here until June 30th. I don't, you know, I mean, that's, and kids don't want to be here. But the more days we take off in the middle, there's only so many days. You know, there's only so many days. Other questions?
Jim?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Paul Merowitz, Cedar Village Boulevard, Ocean. If next year there are no snow days.
What do you mean?
There are no snow days.
Oh, we
don't take off.
It doesn't snow.
It doesn't
or
snow.
We don't have to take off school because of snow. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Do we still have 187 or 182 days?
That's what's built in the calendar in the second, yes.
But do we consider in May or June to cut the calendar by 2 days or not?
I would hope by now you would realize that would be something contrary to my philosophy.
I just wanted to verify. That's all.
I would not. I think to then turn around and say, well, let's take away 2 days of school for students.
That's $430,000.
Well, I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about... They might be worried about the money. What I'm worried about is the education. I'm worried about the education.
Okay.
Parent and Mike, any other questions? This is fun.
Gloria Bonifant, 20 Spanish Drive, Ocean. I guess it's more of a comment than a question. I guess my concern with the calendar would be if it's structured in such a way that the days we have to make up are days that were listed as days off on the calendar, then doesn't that kind of,
Well, there's no other way to make these.
Right, and that, if you're structuring a calendar such that that's the only way to make days up, doesn't that defeat the purpose of trying to maximize student days? Because I know a lot of kids who just don't come anyway because their parents have big plans.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a problem. I mean, I can tell you, like, we talk about, well, what about, you know, making up more days within the year so you don't have to extend it? Because I've certainly heard the input of, you know, isn't it better to put the days back within the year before the end of the year, which, you know, is certainly a valid concern. But one of the problems is attendance on those days was usually really poor. I mean, that's really one of the issues. And people, you know, tend to be, and it's a tough one. It's a tough call, you know. It's six one half dozen of the other. You know, you can extend the year a little one day, like, okay. But, like, for example, 2 years ago, 2014, I guess we used 4 days, and the makeup day was the day after Easter, so it was the tail end of spring break. That day, you know, and I understand it, I get it. There were 108 staff members who needed the day off because of travel plan there, and that's valid. Like, I get that. But that's a lot of substitutes, and that's a lot of, you know, and I'm sure the student attendance wasn't very good.
Right.
My student, my kid was here.
But that would be my concern about adding days in the middle.
Try to balance it. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to both approach, you know what I mean? So, like, for this year, you know, the first one, if we need it, when I say this year, I mean next year, the first one, if we need it, is to add one day, all right, to the end. The second one, if we need it, is to go back into the year, because that is the day after Easter, and once again, we don't have a great track record with attendance on that day. And then the fifth one would be going back to the end of the year. Now, the other issue is we try to avoid Friday graduations, once again, because of religious reasons. So, you know, but one of these days, folks, it's just going to fall where it's going to be, like, impossible to avoid. What are we going to do? We're going to skip a day and then have graduation on Monday? Like, it's not going to make sense, you know? So we are going to have to tackle these issues, and some of them don't have easy answers. But, you know, we could always do things earlier in the day. We can try to play with them a little bit. Mike, you have a question?
Yes. Mike Riley, 700 Carroll Avenue. I have actually a couple of questions.
Yes.
And I understand that, you know, it's very difficult to make the school calendar. But I think, you know, from the teacher's side and also from a community member, a parent's side, I'm very concerned about the teacher morale. Whether the board is aware of it or not, it's a pretty low, not be going out on a hinge to say it's at an all-time low. And the reason I know this is because I watch people go out from the intermediate school early, not early, 2:45, when they can, when we've never left that early. We stay in there, we put in our time because we want to be there. And people tell me, I'm leaving because I just can't stay here anymore. Now, I don't know if that's happening at the other schools, because in all honesty, I don't park in the parking lots because I simply don't have time to do that. All right, but it just bothers me that we are so forced to make sure we use every ounce of second on the premise that we're not doing that already. We're spending time.
Well, I certainly don't, in no way am I in any way saying that people aren't working hard and people aren't doing what they need to do. I mean, that's not the question at all, but I think they're two different things.
Right.
I mean, you know, people working hard and people, you know, giving everything they've got, absolutely is what people do. I don't question that for one second. But that shouldn't be a reason to say that all of the days that have been collectively bargained in our district,
right,
should be then, you know, tossed out. So, because it snows. So I think we have to find that balance, and I think we have to, you know, I mean, if we have to find that balance, and I think
we've never forced 187 days. We've always had it available.
Well, I don't think it's forced. I don't think it's forced.
We've never even listed it. Or we've never listed.
What do you mean you've never listed it?
We've never actually put 187, other than maybe three calendars or two calendars, where we were saying we're shooting to make sure we hit 187. We've always had the understanding that we're going to put 187 with three snow days, or, you know, emergency days, whatever it is you want to call it. But a snow day, just because, you know, I mean, you're saying that it's a waste of money or it's throwing money out, it's not.
I'm mostly concerned about the loss.
We're in our home saying, thank you goodness, this is a gift, because now I can sit down and I can bang out a ton of work from the comfort of my home, because the kids are on the hills getting a little relaxation and a little bit of break. All right, they don't have to come in and bang out another day simply because they have to come in and bang out another day. All right, it's worthwhile to say, go and get a little stressed out, because I can see how stressed out you are. I see the staff stressed out every single day. My phone blows up constantly, and I don't know how many more emails I can handle. All right, I'm just saying that, as I've said before, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And then one other option. The previous calendar that we saw had December 23rd as an early day, and now this new one that we're looking at now does not. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, that was part of one of the options that we were looking at that I brought to the instructional council, as part of the idea of potentially, you know, if we did a calendar that worked to maximize the days, that could be something we could look at as a you know, possibility. So I'm still absolutely open to that in the future, but because we do not, we've done a more traditional, as we've done here in Ocean, calendar,
right,
that, you know, that didn't become part of the final.
All right, so even though this isn't officially approved, even though we could change that to a half, you know, an early release day, it's not really a half day, it's still going to stay the way it's listed.
Right now it's listed, the 23rd is listed
as a full day.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Lorianne Walgren, and I am in Wall Township. I teach at the one last school. And I just wanted to make a comment, I guess, an observation. We're talking about the number of days, and that is important, but I think that we want to be very careful not to confuse quantity and quality. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that necessarily one or two more days is going to make a substantial difference in the quality of the education. There are some important issues that we need to look at, explore, some avenues that we can within the parameters of our existing school year, including in our technology department. We've got some serious concerns in technology across the district, and I think that we potentially lose some instructional quality because of those tech issues. There are serious concerns in the elementary school about math program. We need to look at that.
Absolutely.
And there are other things. I'm sure that my colleagues in the Michigan School and High School could speak more eloquently to concerns there. But I know that there are things we can do to improve the quality of the education we give kids, whether it's 180 days or 182. And I think we want to really focus on quality and not just looking at quantity.
Agreed. 100%. Of the 13-year period that you looked at, you calculated that there was an average of 3 snow days a year.
2.9.
Of that period of time, how many years did we actually have 3 or more snow days in a calendar year, and was that distributed equally over the 13-year period? Or has begun to escalate in the last couple of years?
It's literally been about 3. I think we've used no more than 4, and in some years 2, and many years it was 3. It was pretty consistent over that time. The only year that it was different was Sandy, where we used, we had to, that blew everybody's calendar out. Yeah. But I don't have it right in front of me, but it's been pretty consistent, 3, for that time.
If it's been consistent at 3, why are we budgeting 2? Why are we budgeting 3?
Well, right now we can only do 2 based on the number of non-student days that are in there. We'd have to do a different kind of count.
Can you turn that
off? What am I talking about? Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, the thought as I'm listening to all this, talk, just came into my mind that what is it possible to make up a day at home?
Well,
it's
funny.
Technology.
It's really funny.
So that the day is.
I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. That probably within about 5 to 10 years, this is going to be a completely new conversation.
I don't think it's even that.
Because possible. The idea of emergency days, there will be none. Like Mike, what you spoke about, as far as being at home and conducting class, I'm sure is not that far away as far as it relates. There are some districts that have attempted to do it and have it count as school day. I don't think the state is there yet, but obviously not everybody has access. Not everybody has the technology. Not everybody has that.
Don't all our students have a Chromebook?
Yeah, not everybody necessarily has the internet access and things like that, but I think, I'm telling you, we're probably not more than about 5 to 10 years away where that's probably going to happen. And be allowable. So. And I I don't think that's a problem.
Hi. Laura Shapiro, I'm at the intermediate school. My concern is professional development days and the non-student days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher because I want to be with the students.
Right.
I'm all for learning professional development. I'm on SIP. I am telling you right now, we do not get a dime, as you know. Not
absolutely.
One penny.
Correct.
So what we do is we have all our staff working their butts off to teach us, but we're flat. There's only so much that they can do to teach us. So we have these 4 in-service days that we basically learn from each other. Let us do this like via home or something, or give us some money so we can actually make those days productive, because they are not productive like you guys view it. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We don't get a penny. The people that work don't get paid. They get 6 hours for that professional development. We don't need 6 hours. So I ask that you at least find in your budget to give us the money to do
this. We can absolutely talk about that. That's not a problem. I mean, if we get, if there are things that your SIPs want to dig into, maybe bring somebody in.
We've tried.
Okay,
we've tried. And I'm just saying maybe we shouldn't have all those days, because if it can't be, we can't get anything. And any qualities, and I don't think it's a productive day, and therefore that whole.
I agree with you. I certainly don't want to have days for the sake of days. I mean, for example, I talked a little bit with the instructional council about the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
The last day of school. Like, how valuable is that? I mean, I've heard very many different opinions about just how valuable is that last teacher day. I've heard everything from, oh yeah, it's kind of valuable too. It means absolutely nothing. I come in, I kind of like clean up my room for 20 minutes, and I pack the meeting and go home. There's a lot of things I'm open to all of these conversations. and let's have them. I mean, if you've been told no in the past, it doesn't, you know, you didn't get told no by me. So let's have the conversations and let's see what we can do. I can't promise everything.
Okay.
You know? So let's have the conversation. All right. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. And as always, I mean, if there's other questions, if there's other things that arise, I'm happy to answer. I'm happy to answer. Reach out. I'm happy to have a conversation. If it would help, if you think, for me to come to your schools and talk with staff, I'm happy to do it. Okay? Hand it back over. That is the end of my superintendent's report.
Thank you, Dr. Stefankiewicz. Okay. The following are a series of motions to be read by the committee chairpersons. All motions have been discussed in a recent public work session. Some motions have been approved at a public work session. The minutes for the approved items are on the back table. All motions are posted on the bulletin board in the rear of the auditorium, along with referenced list and attachments. At this point in the meeting, we will now conduct the first of two public comment sessions. The first session will be open for public comments on agenda items only. The second session will be at the end of the meeting and can be on any topic. Beyond what we've already done, would anybody from the public like to comment on any agenda item at this time? You're all spent. Okay. With that, I'd like to move forward with Mr. Moore for the digital bill.
Okay. I have a motion for the approval of the following paid items as listed. The total amount is $8,747,256.19. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mr. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Here.
Mrs. Portalamas.
Yes.
I apologize.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon.
Yes.
Also here.
Motion carries.
Okay. Co-curricular and student activities. Mr. McGovern.
I have no report.
Thank you. Community liaison and communications. Mrs. Sylvia Chaffee. Coughing.
Sylvia Coughing. Sorry. Okay. I have three items tonight. Approval of minutes for the work meeting executive session minutes from February 9th. I'm also moving to approve the second and final reading of the revisions to policy number 9160, which regards public attendance at school events. And just to point out what that policy changes are, we had gotten a suggestion from Mr. Clayton, one of our newer board members, with a lot of input also from Mr. Palouz regarding our active military and veterans of our military and their families being able to attend our athletic events for free as a way to thank them for their service. And I think that's a terrific new policy. So thank you, Mr. Clayton and Mr. Palouz and the rest of the board. And finally, our HIB report, number 6, presented on February 2nd. If there's no discussion, may I have a second?
Second.
Mr. General, would you call the roll?
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mr. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Yes.
Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Hatt.
Yes.
Okay, the motion is carried.
Okay, Financial Management and Resource Services, Mr. Moore.
Okay, I have seven motions this evening. The first motion certifies that budget balances at the end of January were adequate to pay all remaining obligations of the 15-16 school year, and that account groupings required by the state have adequate balances. The board's also certifying that the independent reports of the treasurer and business officer are in agreement. Motion two is to transfer monies from one account in the budget to another and provide the adequate balances referred to in the first motion. Three is for security drill reports for January as listed. Motion four is to approve the use of facilities according to the attached list dated February 16th. Five is to approve the partnership with the Ocean Township Little League regarding use of the baseball field at the administration building. The contract is attached. Six is to approve the purchase of one passenger van from Bayshore Jointure Commission, amounts $8,000. And the last motion, number seven, is to approve the purchase of two buses, set 2017 Bluebird All-American school buses, $96,010 for each, totals $192,020. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll. I think that was a tie.
Give it to Mr. Clayton.
Give it to Mr. Clayton.
Thank you.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Yes.
Mrs. Paralamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Hatton.
Yes.
Okay, the motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Instruction Education, Dr. Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Hatton. I have 6 motions tonight. The first is a motion to approve the 2016-2017 school calendar, a copy attached. Item number 2 is a motion to approve student observers for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandums dated January 15th and February 5th and 12th. Item number 3 is a motion to approve the attached memorandum dated February 12th regarding staff professional development activities. Item number 4 is a motion to approve a trip request for the grades 7 and 8 intermediate school band to visit Allentown, Pennsylvania for a performance, $75 cost per pupil paid for by students. Item number 5 is a motion to approve an addendum to the out-of-district private tuition for 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum. And item number 6 is a motion to approve another trip request. This is a potential trip to the varsity wrestling team should members qualify for the regional tournament held in February. Destination would be Atlantic City, and this costs would be picked up through the athletic department budget. I have a second, please.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Yes.
Mrs. Paralamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Hatton.
I vote yes. I'd also like to thank Dr. Stefankowitz for his work. I know the calendar has been a touchy subject, but the board obviously totally unanimously and wholeheartedly supports this philosophy on the calendar, so we thank you. Okay, negotiations. Mr. Moore.
I have no report this evening.
Thank you. Personnel, Ms. Palamas.
Yes, Mr. Hatton, I have 8 motions this evening. First, I move to approve the following retirements. Irene Gilman, English teacher, high school. Diane Iamello, elementary teacher, OTES. Donna Lynn Manning, elementary teacher, Wanamassa. Dr. Frank Mastalone, science teacher, high school. Lisa Perella, elementary teacher, Wanamassa. Gail M. Phillips, elementary teacher, Wayside. Nydia Pola, secretary at the OTES. And Donna Weldon, elementary teacher at OTES. Second, I move to approve Patricia Bartlett as a clerical substitute. Third, I move to approve Eleanor Goslin, effective March 1st, as a clerical substitute. Four, I move to approve Jose Maria Oliguera, an instructional assistant at the intermediate school, to provide aid support to an intermediate school student with disabilities participating in spring track. Five, I move to approve substitute teachers as listed. Six, I move to approve the following as volunteer coaches: Tom Ryan for boys lacrosse and Paul David Vandermark for golf. Seven, I move to approve that contracts be issued to Libby Landman, special ed teacher, part-time, and to Ronald Pearson, custodian night shift. Eight, I move to approve that a revised contract be issued to Mary Ann Kronitz, head custodian at the Wanamassa School. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Janerone, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Yes.
Mrs. Paralamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Hatton.
Yes.
Motion's carried.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Paralamas. Planning and construction, Mr. Dietrich.
There was no report tonight, Mr. Hatton.
Thank you, sir. Technology, Mr. Palouz.
Thank you, Mr. Hatton. I have one item tonight. Move to approve Stewart Business Systems, a Xerox company, to provide managed printing services to the district at an amount of $2,298.45 monthly. This contract will reflect an annual savings of $4,393,000.08 as per the attached proposal. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Janerone, please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton.
Yes.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mr. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Palouz.
Yes.
Mrs. Paralamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
Mr. Hadden?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries.
Okay, thank you. At this point, do we have any old business from the board? Okay, any new business? All right. Do any public comment on any subject at all?
My name is Jessica Giorgio. I'm Laurel Lab in West Allenhurst. I know that this meeting is recorded, but I'm wondering why we don't record the working meetings as well. It's very difficult to get to them sometimes, and I kind of feel like that's the meat of what happens. So I'd like just someone to explain why, or if it's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility. We can talk about doing that. Absolutely.
We just started posting
right.
the audio of these meetings on the website, so it is definitely something that can be discussed.
Absolutely.
In the
I would like that.
Okay. Thank you.
The minutes from the workshop meetings are in the back.
I go back and look at the minutes, but they don't really. I mean, they're vague. So it would be nice to hear the specifics that
sure.
are discussed
okay.
if I can't
sure.
get to a meeting.
Any other question or comment?
I have something specific to ask, but
okay, I do need. We know who you are,
Barbara Hudson, Lakeside. I did want to ask the teacher. And I think what you said was that that you didn't find value in sharing experience with other teachers.
That's not.
I always no. That's not because I've always been the advocate of teachers sharing.
Sure.
Of course, when you have so many young teachers come in and they don't know anything, then you have the
experience,
there should be mentors. Mm-hmm.
So
we have
mentoring programs, we have all that.
Okay. So now, but what I really came to say was I have the question about the comments made at the last school board meeting when you had the 12th annual statewide forum of New Jersey Gender and Sexual Alliance at the high school, that it was recognized and honored. And if we remember correctly, the superintendent remarked that there was some kind of ball or dance with this group. And that you said you would be happy to have it here in the ocean.
There's a gala each year that the group it's like a prom, and specific within that organization. So I mean, it's open to all students, but it's specific sponsored by Gay Straight Alliance and the other groups within.
Well, that's
and,
where our concern comes mm-hmm. in, right? Because we don't believe in separating groups by sexual identity, and even while we have no prejudice against gender identity, mm-hmm. meaning, anyone can grow up with a particular, depending upon your circumstances. But we see it in the schools, especially when they're vulnerable populations, should keep fear of the gender identity issue. Schools would not, for instance, have a dance or a ball for heterosexuals. Would they? I don't think they would do that. So why would they have one for homosexuals and transgenders? All students, no matter how they identify themselves, should be accepted at their high school dances or balls. Now, at least on the surface, normalization appears to be in quest. Helping to find what might be happening today is an interesting article discussing the extremes of normalization. In Canada, psychiatrists have testified that pedophilia is a sexual orientation comparable to homosexuality and heterosexuality. That pedophiles, just like homosexuals, do not change their sexual orientation and thus are normal. We admit to long being disturbed by what might be a political agenda of normalization. Certainly society must accept all people and all the manifestations, but forcing on society normal, which may not be, creates controversy rather than acceptance. It's an issue like so many others never brought to public discussion to be explored on all sides. Distributed by media for whatever reason, it is more than likely to meant to divide us. But children are the main victims. At certain ages, they have liquid identities, and promotion is not advice, and better they should be left alone to work out for themselves whatever orientation they may assume. So, in general, you just think that you should have a ball for everybody.
Well, we do. It's called prom.
Right.
An organization is welcome to hold a function regardless of, the chess club could have a ball if they thought they'd get enough people to show up for it.
this is a very serious subject.
I'm not joking about it either. It's the idea that you're talking about accepting, but then you're also worried about normalization. And I'm not, that seems like they're those are two different theories that are running head into each other, but you just advocated both of them. I mean, we're an inclusive society. We're an inclusive school district. This is an organization that does a lot of good work for kids who might otherwise be, you know, you talk about marginalizing people. That's not what we're about. And if they don't feel like they have a place, then they're going to feel marginalized. It's not promoting, you know, we're not converting straight kids into being gay kids. That's not what the club does.
That, you know.
What's that?
I mean, that's happening.
Okay, well, I don't really believe that. I think it's something that accepting something doesn't mean that you're going to go that route.
Well, I just think the schools ought to be out of that business. I mean, you know, children can do what they want, groups can do what they want, but they should not be in the school system.
Okay, well, I disagree, but I appreciate your viewpoint. Any other question or comment? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
For a second.
Second.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good night.
Have a video.